I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, we'll talk about a change in a long tradition at Ole Miss, and we'll have our final conversation for Black History Month. That's all coming up a bit later. But we wanted to talk a bit more about the jobs bill and how it might affect particularly people of color who are unemployed. So we've called for additional perspective the Reverend Jesse Jackson, president and founder of the Rainbow Push Coalition. Of course, he's a longtime civil rights activist, a former Democratic presidential candidate, and he's with us by phone from London. Welcome. Welcome back, I should say.
Very well.
How do you respond to this move? I mean, obviously a lot of Democrats in the Senate are relieved that the Congress is finally perceived to be doing something to address the unemployment problem. Do you feel similarly encouraged?
Well, it is a gesture in the right direction, but it does not correspond to the size of the problem. Maybe 20 million Americans are unemployed. Suggests about 9.7 Americans generally, and for African Americans about 20%, in some of these ghettos up to 25% in barrios. So about 20 million Americans unemployed, about 40 million in poverty. It does not correspond to the size of the problem. Wall Street got a bailout, but the working people are really getting a gesture by comparison.
The bill does a couple of things, and of course it has to go to the House now and be reconciled with the House, which has some different ideas about what should happen, but it will reauthorize through the end of 2010 the Federal Highway Trust Fund, which uses gasoline taxes to help state and local governments pay for highway and transit projects. And it also, a significant feature of the bill is a tax credit for companies that hire unemployed workers. The provision exempts workers from paying the Social Security payroll tax this year, and they get an additional credit if the workers stay hired through the end of the year for at least a year, I should say. That's about a $13 billion sort of tax credit. It also gives some businesses tax credits for, it accelerates how they can sort of pay for new expenditures. So what about that?
Put direct jobs over the tax credit, which has a plus, but rules of us, WPA, Workers Progress, and the CCC, direct jobs is an answer to where you have these areas of 20-25% unemployment. Plus, Michelle, you have the hemorrhaging of jobs. In Chicago last week, they laid off 1,100 transit workers. I think more than 1,000 transit workers laid off in New York, putting buses on mothballs in Cleveland, in Atlanta. So we're still hemorrhaging jobs with the trade imbalance and home foreclosures and student loan defaults and credit card scams. Even as we put a few more jobs on the top, we've not yet stopped the hemorrhaging of manufacturing jobs and houses, and now church foreclosures and student loan defaults.
But you're convinced that direct hiring by the government is the best way to address this problem right now? Because the president seems to disagree with you. He feels that sort of encouraging businesses to hire more people is more efficient, and they can actually get them on the payroll sooner.
You just don't agree. Like Inglewood, where the president was an organizer, where you have a crisis of plants closing, jobs leaving, high crime rate of violence, lack of adequate access to transportation, is not an environment in which small businesses are likely to locate to get the tax credit. You're going to need in those areas a stronger rope because people are much further down. You're going to need more than a tax credit.
Now, there was a fairly robust bipartisan vote to advance this bill on the Senate side. It was a 70-28 vote. Obviously, there are a number of Republicans who joined with Democrats to pass the bill. But as you know, because you've been in and out of Washington, a lot, there's a fairly, some people would say, poisonous atmosphere around advancing major legislation. The last piece of legislation was passed around on Christmas Eve, which was the health care bill, which has been embroiled in intense fighting ever since. I think the question I would have is there the political will to make the kind of big move forward on a job stimulus plan that you think is necessary? I mean, can they do it?
Unemployment now is so pervasive. As they move toward election November, they want to do something. They can't say they're against a jobs bill, but that something does not correspond with the size of the problem. Look at what we did with the banks, these multi-billion-dollar bailout deals without linkage to lending. When we put trading and lending in the same shop, and they chose trading over lending, got huge bonuses, and now Wall Street is rising, but unemployment is rising. We're still hemorrhaging jobs. And just to think about Chicago, New York, Memphis, Oakland, and Atlanta, laying off thousands of transit workers, putting buses and trains in mothballs. We have to look at it in a very real way. economic reconstruction, some real plan for economic reconstruction. I was impressed, frankly, when Roosevelt's approach was to restructure banks, not just refortify them, and take lending and trading from under the same roof, a strong SEC, a strong FDIC, direct jobs, and, if you will, a chicken in every pot. Now, that's important because 50 million Americans are food challenged, are food insecure. So these issues of the food insecurity and the lack of jobs among the common people and the traders keep trading. I'm here in Britain today, and whether it's the Royal Bank of Scotland here or the bank in Germany or the Netherlands or Belgium or Wall Street, it's the same phenomena where banks have used their concentrated power to lift themselves up and get bailed out by the people, but don't bail the people once they get bailed out by the people.
But why do you think that Washington is having such a hard time achieving consensus on the next steps forward? Obviously, you know, you hear a lot of the Republican leadership say that they are deeply worried about the deficit. They say that the country cannot afford very much more spending. You know, a number of Republicans did join with Democrats to advance this bill in the Senate. But I'm just asking, what is your assessment of why you see it as sort of a clear and present and obvious crisis for the country, but I'm just wondering, why do you think it is that a number of other people just don't seem to see it the way you do, or they're just having trouble getting consensus on what to do?
I don't know why there's so much difference for the rich and powerful and so much contempt for the poor. Maybe is that the rich and powerful have lobbyists, and the lobbyists get the first seat at the table. And so bailout banks, they're too big to fail a year ago, now they're twice as big and expressing contempt by not reinvesting. Even in the health care bill, the pharmaceuticals and the hospitals are at the table first and demanding more. And they tend to invest heavily in those who do the voting.
And I wanted to ask you, I don't know, on a different note, that there's been a, I don't know if you've been made aware of it, that there's been this kind of dust-up earlier in the week between the political commentator Tavis Smiley and the Reverend Al Sharpton. And they had a kind of an ongoing dispute on the air on various programs about whether President Obama is taking the problems of the black community seriously enough and whether there needs to be a more focused agenda directed at African Americans who are suffering, as of course you know, disproportionately from high unemployment. And Reverend Sharpton was invited to the White House to talk about these issues. What is your take on this?
Well, Americans who are black, Americans who are Latino are facing disproportionate pain. We're the victims of reverse redlining by the banks. So banks profile, targeted, student clustered homes, and most of our equity has been in homes, been ripped off by banks who should have been creditors became predators, for example. As I said, Chicago, 3,500 Chicagoans die a year in one city from health care disparities. We're number one in infant mortality, number one in short life expectancy, number one in unemployment, number one in lack of access to capital. And so those Americans, whether they are black or Latino or whether they're white in Appalachian, deserve special consideration because they're in America's emergency room. And, of course, presidents always, because of this racial issue, as America's moral dilemma, whether it's Lincoln or Truman or Eisenhower or Kennedy or Johnson or Clinton, ultimately, greatness was defined by how they treated that dilemma and how they, in fact, treated the least of these.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson, the president and founder of the Rainbow Push Coalition, as we mentioned, he's in London, and we reached him there where he's receiving a number of honors, and he's also working on continuing his work on political activism there and working on voter registration efforts overseas. So, Reverend Jackson, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.